Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Patient Outcomes All-Cause Readmissions Expedited Review Pre-Voting Webinar. And now I'd like to turn the webinar over to Adila Khan.
So here are the goals for our webinar. During this webinar, we want to provide an opportunity for clarification prior to our member voting. We're going to go over the project scope, the measures recommended for endorsement, overarching issues, and comments and actions taken. The goals of this project are twofold. The first was identification and endorsement of additional cross-cutting, non-condition-specific measures for accountability and quality improvement that address all-cause readmissions to hospitals. And the second is all-cause hospital readmissions related consensus standards that were endorsed by NQF before June 2009 will be evaluated under the maintenance process. This project was our first expedited review project. There are three criteria that must be met for a project to be expedited. The first, the extent to which the measures under consideration have been sufficiently tested and or in widespread use. The second, the scope of the project or measure set is relatively narrow. And three, there is a time-sensitive legislative regulatory mandate for the measures. And even though this project was expedited, all submitted measures were evaluated using the four NQF evaluation criteria of importance to measure scientific acceptability, usability, and feasibility. The slide provides an overview of where we are currently in the project. Our public and member comment period closed on January 20th, and all comments were addressed by the committee. The developers were also given a chance to respond to comments made on their particular measures. Right now, we're going through member voting on the two measures that were recommended by the steering committee, and our draft report and comment table are available on our project page. The committee recommended the following two measures for endorsement: 1789 hospital-wide all-cause unplanned readmission measure, HWR by CMS scale, and 1768 planned all-cause readmissions by NCQA. Measure number 0329, risk-adjusted 30-day all-cause readmission rate developed by UAC, was not recommended, with a final vote of 7 for yes, 12 for no. Several overarching issues that we saw in this project were our modeling approaches, specifically statistical modeling and the use of HLM. All three measures use logistic regression modeling. The CMS Yale measure use hierarchical modeling to estimate the hospital risk-adjusted readmission rate. Some steering committee members expressed concern that with hierarchical modeling, the risk-adjusted rates for low-volume hospitals would be no different than from the average rate. But the committee agreed that the methodological concerns for hospitals with lower volume would be less of a concern because this would be an all-cause readmission. For the selection of covariates, the committee was interested in the rationale for the inclusion or exclusion of hospital volume and socioeconomic status as covariates in the model. Both CMS, Yale, and NCQA chose to use covariates that help to create a level playing field across the hospitals and adjust for patient clinical condition at the time of admission. For example, the CMS Yale measure used five clinical cohorts to account for the variation in service mix across hospitals, and the NCQA model uses an indicator for major surgery. Hospital volume and shrinkage issues. The committee members felt that including volume as a covariate might improve the statistical performance of the risk adjustment model, but the developer argued that there's limited evidence to support any justification that differences in readmission performance between hospitals on the basis of volume are acceptable. And lastly, adjusting for socioeconomic status, some steering committee members expressed concern that in the case of a hospital readmission, SES influences resource available after hospitalization that can affect a readmission. For usability for quality improvement, several members viewed the plan-level NCQA measure as a way to hold plans accountable for readmissions. And the committee expressed concern that the measure results for the CMS Yale measure would not be available in a timely fashion. The committee also discussed related and competing measures. These include issues relating to the hierarchical condition category versus condition categories. As specified, NCQA uses the HCCs and CMS Yale uses CCs. The committee suggested both developers need to harmonize and use a single approach. I just wanted to clarify, NCQA uses CCs and CMS Yale uses HCCs. The logistical or hierarchical modeling, the committee preferred that developers harmonize their risk models. For the inclusion of structured cohorts, members of the committee requested that NCQA harmonize their denominator to include the five clinical cohorts used by CMS Yale. The exclusion of planned readmissions, it was suggested that NCQA exclude planned readmissions from their measure, as including planned readmissions is not a signal of poor quality of care. The exclusion of cancer patients with planned readmissions, the committee suggested NCQA exclude planned readmissions but retain the cancer patients that were not planned readmissions. Inclusion of patients with psychiatric conditions, CMS Yale was asked to incorporate patients who receive primary psychiatric treatment at acute care hospitals into their measure because of possible implications of the readmission rates for patients with comorbid psychiatric conditions. And lastly, counting readmissions as index admissions. Then the committee requested that NCQA harmonize with CMS Yale to count readmissions as index admissions. Our comment period closed January 20th, and we received 117 comments from 43 organizations and individuals. The major themes of the comments included the justification of an expedited review, socioeconomic status variables in the risk adjustment model, usability concerns, support for harmonization, and inclusion and exclusion criteria. All comments and responses from the MQF staff, measure developers, and steering committee can be found on the voting draft report, which is available on our website.
So at this time, we'd now like to open the floor for any questions. We do have with us Dr. Lazar, who is one of the steering committee co-chairs for this readmission project. And we also have Dr. Timothy Ferris, who is the chair of the Consensus Standards Approval Committee, here on the call with us to answer any questions. Danielle, can you please open the lines for questions?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're joining us using a speakerphone, please ensure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, for your questions at this time, please press star 1. And again, that is star 1 for your questions. We'll hear from Nancy Foster with AMA.
Hi, it's Nancy Foster with the American Hospital Association, and good afternoon. Let me just understand, because this is somewhat different from the agenda, you're throwing the door open now for any kinds of questions or comments. Is that correct?
That is correct, Nancy.
Hey, Tarun. Thanks.
Hi. Yep.
So could I ask just a simple question about process, which is that I know that the questions that we had raised in our letter and that others had raised in their letters with regard to the expedited review process and whether or not it was appropriate for this particular set of measures is still an open question, and that the board will be reviewing it at a later date. How exactly does that influence the voting process and the fact that we're all being asked to vote now without some sense of whether that, how that question might be resolved?
Tarun, this is Heidi. Is my line open? I can't tell.
Yes, I can hear you, Heidi.
Okay, good. Hi, Nancy. So I know others have wondered this as well. The feeling was the board will discuss it on the call on Friday. And if at that time the board decides that they want to reverse any actions that we're taking at the moment, any of that, we will go ahead and work on that. We're actually figuring out if they do decide that they'd like us to, I don't know what the request could be. It could be more additional comment or whatever it would be. We would at that point circle back and stop where we are in the process. but not knowing where we were and knowing that we still have an obligation and a timeline, and we had notified the public that this would go out for votes, we felt we needed to move forward. So that's how where we are. We will step back if we need to, but at this point felt that we needed to keep moving forward as planned.
Thanks.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. And if I might take advantage of having the floor to ask a somewhat different question about the recommendation that the measure be stratified in display, separating out the DSH hospitals from the non-DSH hospitals, which is, as I understand it, where the steering committee landed, vis-a-vis the question of the socioeconomic factor and its implications for readmission rates. First of all, do I have that right?
Let me clarify that, actually, Nancy. It's a little nuanced in the sense that the committee agreed to move forward with the measure as specified, with a reporting recommendation to CMS that in order to support fair and appropriate comparisons, that hospital performance should be reported within like comparison groups. And one example could be disproportionate share hospitals. So it was not necessarily a stratification recommendation, but rather that like hospitals should be compared when reported, when this measure is reported.
So thanks, Tarun. That's a helpful clarification. So if CMS were to decide that like hospitals meant a division by size or ownership or anything else, that would be satisfactory to the steering committee and meet with the intent of the steering committee's recommendations? Is that your understanding, or Tim, yours?
The question was really for vulnerable populations, so I'm not sure that just the comparison of a hospital size would adequately address this recommendation by the steering committee. Ellie, if there's something else that you'd like to add there as well, but that is my interpretation.
No, I think you captured it.
Okay.
So I stand corrected then. It really is about an adjustment that reflects the differences in circumstances of the patients. A reporting methodology that reflects the differences in the circumstances of the patients as a, sort of a nod towards this whole question of socioeconomic status and the research that has really outlined how important the impact it can have on readmission rates.
Right.
Let me turn the floor over to others.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, for your questions, please press star 1.
Okay, if there are no additional questions, you want me to go?
And I apologize, we did just have two participants dial in. And our first question will come from Carol Mullen with Virtua.
Hi, thank you. I just had a question about the inclusion of the psychiatric patients with psychiatric conditions.
Right.
The way it reads, you know, had they been in the metric originally, or were they excluded and now they're being added?
Patients who had a primary diagnosis of a psychiatric condition were excluded from the CMS Yale measure.
And will they then continue to be in the maintenance?
There was a recommendation by the steering committee that patients with a primary psychiatric treatment at acute care hospitals should be included, but that is the recommendation for the measure going forward. That is not the way the measure is currently specified.
But it does say in the draft report there that they suggested coming up with a sixth cohort. But it looks like there'll be a whole year to allow that to happen. So I'm not clear if when we vote, we're voting on that they were excluded before or they're now in, but a year from now, they'll be added as a cohort. If you could just clarify that for me.
Yeah, sorry for the confusion on that. So the measures as currently specified do not include patients with a primary psychiatric diagnosis. There was a recommendation by the steering committee moving forward at annual update that the measures harmonize with each other, and one of the components would be to include patients with psychiatric conditions. Obviously, this would require a certain degree of testing by the measure developers, and at that year, at the annual update, we will evaluate the updated measure, and at that point, it will be open to public and member comment again. And so the way to assess the current voting is that you would vote on the measure as currently specified, which would mean
thank
that...
you.
Okay.
And next we'll hear from Don Casey with Atlantic Health System.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for the chance to speak. I certainly wanted to echo our colleagues' comments, Nancy Foster, and appreciate the fact that she's representing a large number of hospitals, even though I know she only gets one vote. My question, the first question is quickly, my understanding is that if this measure is then endorsed by NQF, it will be able to be used by CMS for two purposes. One is public reporting, and the second is potentially adjustment to reimbursement for certain hospitals that have high levels of readmission. So I just wanted to validate that those two possibilities for this measure were in play.
I believe CMS is on the call, but the measure is endorsed for national use, so it could be used for public reporting or public accountability programs or quality improvement. The specific uses for CMS, we can't really speak for. CMS, are you on the call?
And I understand that. I'm just trying to point out that I believe this is, it's important for CMS in the Affordable Care Act to rely upon a consensus development process so that they can then use a measure or a set of measures related to readmissions in their payment policy. So I'm not asking NQF to resolve that. I think I'm just hopefully validating that is a possibility should this measure be endorsed.
Thank you.
So that may just be a comment. We intend to vote no against this measure. Part of our longstanding concern over the past year has been the inability to explain in the current measures that are used for public reporting for AMI and heart failure, an inverse relationship between HRRs with better than expected 30-day risk-adjusted mortality rates for AMI, that correlation with a worse than expected readmission rate for two-thirds of the HRRs that are better than expected for mortality. We believe that there's not been enough analysis that readmissions are certainly a significant problem that we need to work on, but that using this measure for purposes of ranking and potential payment is counterproductive, especially since there's also additional evidence of an undercurrent of lack of adjustment for things like SES. And we just don't think this is by itself ready and should be studied further, especially as it relates to real outcomes, and hence, as I said, we intend to vote no on this measure.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we do have a follow-up question from Nancy Foster.
Hey, thanks for the chance to get in again. I share Don Casey's concerns about the unintended impact of this measure, or its both measures, but particularly the CMS Yale measure and the potential ways in which CMS might use it. And I'm curious about the question that we raised in our comment letter about testing, because as we said in the comment letter, to me, it really sufficient testing to be able to judge what's going on with a measure requires that someone other than the measure developer have sort of kicked the tires on it and be able to point out some of the potential unintended consequences, some of the ways in which the data are aligning that may not reflect an adequate adjustment of one stripe or another in the measurement. This hierarchical condition modeling sounds interesting, sounds like an interesting way to approach it, but, you know, we've never really seen it. And it's unclear to me how NQF can judge something to be sufficiently tested when no one else has been able to, as I said, kick the tires on the measure. So help me understand that, because it really is frustrating, quite frankly, to think that a measure could be pushed out for national implementation to reflect what people suppose is something about hospital performance when nobody's been able to really look at it and know.
Okay, so the NQF criteria within the scientific acceptability, which is how the steering committee evaluated these measures, looked at the reliability and validity of the measure as constructed. And the particular measure that you're referring to, the CMS measure, attempted to demonstrate reliability and validity testing both at the data element level and at the measure score level. And both of these testing, both testing for reliability and validity was generally received as adequate by the steering committee. Now, the concern that you raise around whether it's been in use is actually kind of a separate issue from the actual scientific testing and statistical testing of the measure, since you could demonstrate reliability and validity without a measure actually being in use by demonstrating statistical relationships between the measure and other reliable measures of quality. Now, one can question that, as others have, and that's reasonable. However, the question of usability is sort of a separate concern.
Right, Tarun. I get that. And I understand you can test reliability and validity and know that a measure is reliable and valid, but it may not give you a portrait of quality that you really want, which you don't figure out until you've actually seen how the measure plays out in reality. And some of the questions that have been raised about socioeconomic status and other factors that play in here, and whether or not an adjustment for differences in clinical status is sufficient. I mean, I'm really trying to probe at this issue of what is considered sufficient testing. Is it only around reliability and validity? Or is it anything having to do with how the measure actually works and whether it, in fact, accounts for enough of the variation in data to be, and what is left open, what's unaccounted for in this measure that may or not be appropriately left on the table? Yeah. And that's a bigger, broader question than whether it's reliable or valid.
That's fair.
And it is one of the reasons we will join AtlanticCare in voting no on this measure. It's troublesome to us, to say the least, to think that it could be imposed on the hospitals without anybody else having the opportunity to review it and understand the impact and raise some questions about it. That's the nature of our concern.
That's fair, Nancy. Thank you.
We do have another question that will come from Daniel Brotman with Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Hi, can people hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so this is a follow-up to the last point related to how to make sure that there aren't unintended consequences, and it extends beyond just the socioeconomic factors, which I think are probably the biggest one. But we've seen, when we've dug down into our readmissions at the hospital, a very large percentage of planned readmissions, and when we've looked at the Yale CMS plans, it seems that there's an acknowledgement that we need to exclude these from the numerator and the denominator, but the process of doing so seems to be iterative and somewhat cumbersome, and I'm very concerned that we're going to really have a, an incentive, for instance, not to admit patients for their cancer surgery after 3 weeks, but push it out to 4 weeks, and that seems almost silly, but we're seeing really about 20% or more sometimes of our readmissions being planned and not necessarily clearly included in the Yale methodology, and we want to make sure that there's a process in place to have a low threshold to exclude potentially planned readmissions so that we can avoid that problem. I'd rather have them excluded from the numerator and the denominator and in the process throw out some, quote, legitimate readmissions than have them included unnecessarily and really cause consternation for people on the ground level trying to take good care of patients.
Okay.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions in queue.
Okay. Thank you all for those thoughtful comments. So we'll just finish up here with next steps. The NQF member voting will end on Monday, March 1st, 2012 at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Voting results will be forwarded to the CSAC for discussion on their March 7th, 2012 in-person meeting. We wanted to make sure we took a moment here to thank Dr. Elliot Lazar for joining us on this call as the chair of this group. And if there are no questions, or if there are any other questions, we'll be happy to take them. Otherwise, we thank you all for taking the time out in your day to participate in this project.
And ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference. Thank you again for your participation. You may now disconnect.